My big concern about the upcoming phase three is the mandatory use of cisplatin, automatically excluding probably 40 to 50% of the population that we would otherwise have included in phase three. You know, who knows? We may start the study, see that accrual is lagging, and then opt to amend it and include carboplatin again. Or we may find that accrual's just fine. There'll be sufficient numbers of patients out there who are getting cisplatin-based regimens. And this is an easier trial to do, at least conceptually, because everybody's getting chemotherapy. We're not comparing chemotherapy to best supportive care. So that aspect of this trial is less contentious. The only variable, of course, is whether they get bevacizumab.
I mean, it seems like it would be rational not just to improve accrual. It seems like it would make sense to look at carbo and paclitaxel. I mean, that was the regimen that was combined with bevacizumab.
Which is an important point because, frankly, bevacizumab, at least in the initial phase three, the positive phase three, was not combined with gemcitabine and cisplatin. It was not combined with vinorelbine and cisplatin. It was not combined with docetaxel and cisplatin. There is an ongoing European trial that's looking at gem and cisplatin plus or minus bevacizumab. I imagine that may be reported in the next 6 to 12 months. So it's a companion trial to the ECOG 4599. But we really have a paucity of data, particularly safety data. And that's a concern with gem cisplatin. Patients' platelets drop. So here we have a drug that has a propensity toward bleeding. We're giving them chemotherapy that may, at least theoretically, increase their risk of bleeding.
Any concerns about using docetaxel-based regimens with Bev?
I probably have the least concern with that regimen because historically, at least, docetaxel in combination with either cisplatin or carboplatin is not particularly tough on platelets.
You want to give me a prediction, assuming the trial gets done, what it's going to show?
I'm an optimist. The success of bevacizumab really seems to be extending across multiple solid tumors, unrelated solid tumors. So here we have colorectal that's shown a survival advantage. We have at least a hint, maybe not quite as solid as colorectal, but a hint of an advantage in breast cancer. And I think fairly solid data for lung cancer, at least in the context of ECOG 4599, it'll be interesting to see if the CIS-GEM study is positive. But that study is positive. I have very little doubt, potentially, that the bevacizumab will be beneficial. On the other hand, given all the risk factors, I have total equipoise about conducting the trial.
Well, probably before the lung trial is like halfway accrued, we should have data from the NSABP colon trial, which actually closed today, I just found out, 2,700 patients in 2 years. So, you know,
we should do so well in lung
right.
cancer. Forget the accrual target offhand. It's going to be a big trial, but it's not going to be that big.
You guys need to get the NSABP involved. I keep thinking that, but I know that'll never
happen.
They
don't do lung.
Well, get them to do lung. Younger patient, good health, has the financial means to pay for it. High risk stage two situation says, I'll pay for the bevacizumab if you think it'll help me. Would you treat the patient off study?
I would send them to somebody else.
You would not be comfortable treating a patient?
I say this is a study question. There are real risk issues here. The study itself is looking at 12 months of therapy. We don't really know whether that's the optimal duration. Maybe we can get by just with 4 cycles. That'll be a subsequent question only if the study is positive. But off study, I will not treat them. I'll give them chemotherapy and that's it.